Breakfast with Ben's podcast. Tim Benz with you. The Steelers season is over. They finished 9-8. They missed the playoffs. Last patch of the season after the bye, much better than the first, finishing 7-2 after starting 2-6. Part of the reason why, vastly improved play from the offensive line. I'd argue that the offensive line actually started to turn the corner after the first month, and to be frank, maybe accelerated its curve more so than other aspects of the team. And I felt coming out of the bye wasn't as much of a red flag as other aspects of Mike Tomlin's team in 2022. They continued to get better, though, even as the second half of the season progressed. You keep hearing the word continuity thrown around about this bunch. Every time we asked Mike Tomlin to discuss why his offensive line got better, he just kept going back to the continuity card. But if you have five guys who all play together every snap like the Steelers did, and none of them are any good, then you just got five bad offensive linemen who are healthy every week. So I think the Steelers' O-linemen are better than that. Certainly the numbers would indicate that as the season moved along. I think if you look at Najee Harris's numbers, he went from something like 45 yards per game to about 75 yards per game on the ground. Jaylen Warren was a spark, averaging 4.9 yards per carry. Kenny Pickett, this has a little something to do with his ability to understand the pocket, when to get rid of the ball, but his sacks went down as well. I thought that all five offensive linemen did a real nice job. Mason Cole at center, James Daniels and Kevin Dotson at guard, Dan Moore at left tackle, Chukwuma Okorafor at right tackle. I think that Okorafor and Daniels, maybe it's because of their familiarity, their name recognition, their price tag, those are the guys that people look at the most and assume that they will be back in their same positions next year. Cole was more than serviceable at center and certainly was a really good spokesperson for the team in the locker room, won the Chief Award in that regard. Dotson and Moore took a lot of guff early in the season. I think people were still sort of picking on them, perhaps too much late in the year, but as the calendar turned into December and eventually January, boy, did they run left a lot. Those two might have some issues more when it comes to pass blocking. Dotson when it comes to absorbing penalties and giving up the occasional gaffe of a sack. But run game-wise, they ran left a lot, and Harris found a lot of room on that side of the field. So I'll be curious to see how they address offensive line. I still think that it's well worth their while to go out and get themselves a stud tackle. At the very least, if nothing else, then you've got that guy to learn for a year behind the other two. And I think in a best-case scenario, maybe displace one of those two, have some depth at the position because they don't have that there, and maybe have yourself more with a sixth-man role that could be a tackle or a guard, or if you found a stud guard, maybe then you have that guy take over as number one and Dotson be the backup guard, the backup swing guy. If he has to play center in a pinch, he could probably do that. Or, Mason Cole, like I said before, he's a guy that can swing and play guard and center if you found yourself a number one center, like another chance to get a Creed Humphrey that they passed on, although in that case they did get Pat Freiermuth, so can't complain there per se. But I had a chance before the season ended to catch up with Daniels, who was pretty steady throughout his time here in Pittsburgh, maybe a little longer to catch up on the fly than we expected. I think everybody thought he'd just be plug and play. It probably took about 3 weeks for us to see the guy that we all assumed the Steelers were getting in free agency. And then after that, largely he was that, which was a reliable, capable starting right guard for the price that they paid. And this is what Daniel said to me about his first year here in Pittsburgh and where he saw the offensive line grow the most.
I thought I did some things good. There are some things I didn't do very good, but that's probably the biggest thing is, like, I always look back at, like, the things I could have done better throughout the year in my first season here.
When the offensive line has been evaluated, especially since the bye, a lot of people have talked about how much the continuity of the unit has helped, how much the fact that you five all played together almost the entirety of the season helped. But how much did you all grow individually? Because it's one thing to have continuity, but if the players aren't good, then it doesn't matter.
Right,
I mean,
right.
You guys obviously ended up being a good group of players.
Yeah. I mean, it was just every day, like, I just saw, like, how people, like, how they were, like, trying to improve, you know, and, like, I saw, like, all the extra work, like, people put in, like, after practice. There's times that Dan Dot and Chukes were, they're out 25, 30 minutes after practice just getting sets, you know? And just, like, when you do that, like, you take 15 minutes post-practice every day, and by the time the end of the year, that's hours of extra work that you put in by just staying 10, 15 minutes every day after practice. So, I mean, it was just, I think the guys did a really good job of just, like, you know, like, really just trying to improve and doing all the extra work so they could improve.
We were talking to Kevin Dodson before. He said there was a definite buy-in after the bye week as to what the offense collectively was doing. What did it take for that buy-in to happen, and why was it perhaps lacking in the first eight games?
I think the biggest thing is, like, when we started watching film together as a unit, and when you watch film together as a unit, you understand, like, all the pieces of, like, what's happening, and you understand, like, for example, like, you can see, like, receivers wide open, but if I miss my block, Kenny can't throw that receiver because I missed my block, you know, and that could be a huge play. It's, like, it's stuff like that where you don't see when you watch it individually as an offense line or individually as a position group. But, I mean, yeah, I just remember there was one game, like, there was one game where they had, like, an MA, like, someone had, like, an MA tracker, and they were just counting the MAs by the offense. We had, like, 60-something snaps, then we had, I think, 20 or 30 MAs, and that was a game we lost by one possession. So it's a game like that, like, you have 30 MAs out of 60-something snaps. There's an MA every other play. And I think when people realize that, like, I mean, when people realize that, it shows you that it's not always the play calling. Sometimes it's not the play calling. Sometimes it's the players, and the players need to be doing the job or taking their job seriously so they know what to do.
With that being said then, because I know this team and your head coach has received a lot of credit over the years for preventing tough starts from getting out of control and the season coming off the rails, does what you're talking about then apply over a long break going in August and the start of September so that you don't have to worry about scrambling to make up late?
Yeah, that's something we just need to, but once OTAs comes, I mean, we need to start taking things, like, seriously and realize, like, if you make a mistake, you can't just say, like, oh, no, that's OTAs, because I feel like that's what happens this year. Oh, no, that's OTAs. Oh, no, that's preseason. Oh, no, it's early in the year. And by the time, oh, no, it's early in the year, then you're already 2-6, and then you're scrambling. So I do feel like that's something that you do have to start certain OTAs. Like, no, it's just not OTAs. I mean, that's just something that we need to focus on and get better at.
And I think, like, one lesson you guys could pull from this is, like, to your point about it's 2-6, but if you're 2-6 against the wrong teams, like the entire AFC East, that hangs over you and makes your climb up the ladder all the more difficult.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't try, like, I mean, of course, I mean, yeah, it's just tiebreaker.
It sneaks back up on you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, but we definitely, losing to an entire division, and especially losing the AFC teams, because, like, when it comes down to, like, the playoff tiebreakers, I mean, it is unfortunate. But, yeah, I mean, 2-6, I mean, yeah, that's a tough start to finish from.
I guess last thing I'll ask you then is, like, I know a lot of people put the wild card of Watt's health as a reason why you guys win or lose a lot. But next year, if Najee's healthy to start, if Kenny is now established as a true number one quarterback and the offensive line comes back together, can that offensive growth sustain any dent you take injury wise on the defensive side?
I mean, I really don't try to focus on, like, the defensive or, like, what's happening on defense. But I mean offensively, I mean, you can control what we can control, and, like, if everyone improves and people are capable of improving, we saw it this season. So if people can do the same thing next year and improve, I mean, you should be really good.
All right, so my thanks to James Daniels, one of our exit interviews from the Steelers locker room. Might have a few more of those to sprinkle in during the offseason, the next couple of weeks as the playoffs continue. I will be back with more next week. Our Madden Monday interview, as usual, will post next week with Mark Madden on Monday morning. This is Breakfast with Ben's.